And now, Reginald Denny, another of your stars on parade. Transcribed from New York City, your Army and your Air Force present a biographical drama titled Mickey and the Judge, starring as Judge Ben Lindsay, Reginald Denny. This is the story of a boy, a bicycle, and a ride that made history. But more than that, it's the story of the man who molded the boy, a man who led with his heart to strike at the heart of a system that was turning children into criminals, turning the streets of our cities into hothouses of crime. It's the story of Judge Lindsay of Denver, and it's the story of Mickey, Mickey and the Judge. Time, the early 1900s.
Mickey, will you step up to the bench, please?
Yes, sir.
Mickey.
Yes, sir.
It has been established here in this courtroom that you have stolen a gold watch and that you pawned that watch, property that does not belong to you, for $3.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, Judge.
Well, Mickey, I'm going to give you a chance to prove that you're sorry.
You are?
Yes, Mickey. Here. I want you to take this $20 bill and go to the pawn shop where you left that watch and redeem it.
Gee. Thank you, Judge.
And I want you to promise me that you'll report back here to me before this courtroom closes today.
I promise, Judge. You won't be sorry.
I hope I won't, Mickey. You better hurry now.
Yes, sir.
Later, in his panel chamber, youthful Judge Lindsay listens, worried, to the anxious words of his friend, Assistant Prosecutor Halsey Weaver. Weaver looks at his watch as he speaks.
Ben, I tell you, he's not coming back. You ought to see that by now.
I can't understand it. I could have sworn I was right about Mickey. That boy's no criminal.
Should have been back an hour ago. The answer is he's not coming back. He skipped. It's a foolish waste of our time waiting for him here.
Now, wait, Halsey. Wait, I still insist I had every moral right to do what I did.
But not every legal right. Couldn't you at least have sent a deputy with him?
But that would have defeated my whole purpose. I told you I had to show him that I trusted him.
You showed him, all right. You showed him how to get a flying start on the law. By now he's probably on some fast freight putting miles between himself and your trust.
I still think my instinct about that boy was right.
Ben, you know there's no place for instinct on a bench of law. Now, come on, there's no use waiting. The only thing we can do now is prepare some excuse against the day when they call you before the board to explain.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. There he is now. Oh, it's you, Higginson. Come to lock up, I suppose.
Well, sure. Unless you've got some special reason for
No, we've got no special reason for holding open any longer.
Oh. Yes, I guess we was right, Higginson. We no longer have any special reason for staying open.
All right. I'll start locking up. Oh, say, Judge.
Yes?
Nothing important, only did you order something from a jeweler or something?
Order something from a jeweler? No, why?
I didn't think so. It's nothing. You can forget it.
Forget what? What are you talking about?
It's all right. I can handle it. It's probably a trick of some kind.
Never mind handling it. What is it? What are you getting at?
Some tramp kid. He's been trying to break into the building for the past 2 hours with some foolishness about you and a watch. I only half listened. It's all right. I can take care of him.
A kid with a watch? Tell me, where is he? Where is he? Is he still out there? Did you get his name?
His name? Oh, yeah, I got that much. It's, Mickey.
Mickey had come through. He had repaid my trust in him, and I, in return, was finally able to get the charges against him dropped. Of course, the boy vowed his everlasting gratitude, and though I was touched by his cheerful promise to do something for me sometime, I confessed that Mickey, his promise, and his $3 watch were soon buried in my memory under a landfall of details involving the most important crusade of my career, a crusade on behalf of 1,000 Mickeys. One morning, I was talking to a reporter on one of the most influential dailies in Denver. The man listened eagerly as I spoke. Now, I've called on you because You're the only one in Denver who seems to feel as deeply about this thing as I do. Here in this folder are the details, all of them, and they're yours to print. Details of a shocking system that sends young children to adult prisons instead of to juvenile detention homes. Sends them to prison to learn to become masters at crime. Exposes them to the unspeakable influences of veteran criminals.
Now, just a moment, Judge Lindsay. Am I to understand, then, that you're blasting the prison administration in Denver?
Not at all. I don't say it's the result of any willful action by any one group or person, but I am saying that it is not peculiar to Denver alone. It's the result of a medieval approach to a modern problem, and it's common to practically every big city in the United States. That's why I say it's more than a campaign. It's a crusade.
And exactly what do you hope to get out of it?
For myself, of course, nothing. But for the children, a separate detention home and school. A juvenile court that will attempt to save the child before it punishes him.
Well, that's an impressive target. Your ammunition here had better be good.
Good? Sir, it's dynamite. And dynamite it proved to be, exploding in the press and shattering the sensibilities of the prison administration with its fragments. Though I had made no personal charges, the charges were taken personally. For instance, there was an editorial in one of the local newspapers.
Judge Lindsay has seen fit to recommend that this city, this county, and this state undertake to reform lives already lost. In short, he proposes that we take the children of the most undesirable elements of this community and divert tax money to an impractical crusade. It is the belief of this newspaper.
The challenging result was exactly what I'd hoped for. An investigation. The inquiry was to take place in my chambers the following Thursday. The investigating board was to include the governor, the mayor, and 15 ministers. I chose my witnesses carefully. 15 boys who had been exposed to the prison influence. I counted on their testimony to startle the board into an awareness of the shocking need for reform. Unfortunately, I was soon to find out that this need was even greater than I had already suspected. This was evidenced when I issued subpoenas for the witnesses.
Oh, hello, Will.
Oh, hello. I didn't know anybody was in the office. I just came in to get those subpoenas to serve for Judge Lindsay.
And now, wait a minute. You know, Will, it's not going to be a very good idea for you to serve those subpoenas. A lot of people aren't going to like it.
Well, what am I going to do with them? It's my job to serve them.
Yeah, give them to me.
Now, wait a minute.
Come on, give them to me.
What are you going to do with them?
I'm going to file them way back in this drawer, where nobody will find them for a long time. If anybody asks you about them, just tell them you couldn't find the people who are supposed to get them.
Then the decisive Thursday arrived. 12:00. The investigation was to start at 3:30. Confidently, I waited for my witnesses to begin arriving for their briefings. 12:30. None of them had come yet. 1:00. 1:15. I began to go nervous. And at 1:30...
Lindsay!
Weaver, what is it?
Lindsay, have any of your witnesses showed up?
No. What do you mean?
Well, they're not going to.
Not going to?
No, they don't know anything about it. I've just found out the subpoenas were never served on them. You're stuck without one single witness.
Stuck? But why? How?
I don't know. I suppose it could have been an oversight. I don't know. All I know is you've got to do something, and you've only got 2 hours to do it.
How long would it take to serve new subpoenas?
Oh, 2 days at least. No, that's out. In fact, I think everything's out. I think it's too late for anything, Lindsay. I'm afraid things look even darker for you now than they did during that Mickey business. There's not a...
Wait a minute. What did you say?
Huh? I said that...
Never mind. I think you've got it.
I have?
Yes. It's our only chance. Mickey! Mickey, you've got an hour and a half. Do you think you can do it?
I can do anything you need me to do, Judge.
Understand, I need 15 boys, at least 15. All of them to have served a term in prison. And I need them here in an hour and a half.
How can he do it, Lindsay? He can't. They're scattered all over the district. It's impossible. Like, hunting tigers with a pea shooter.
I'm afraid in this case, Weaver, a pea shooter is all we've got. What do you say, Mickey? Would you like a police escort? I might be able to get you a couple of detectives to go along.
No, no. All I need, Judge, is just one thing, and I know where to get it.
What's that?
A bicycle.
Two o'clock. The committee ought to start straggling in soon.
Yes, and they'll soon be straggling out. I always seem to be the one to shower gloom on your inspirations, Ben. But this time I'm sure I'm right.
Well, I don't know. I've got a lot of faith in Mickey. I wonder how he's making out. I wonder how he's going about it.
Greeny, drop it and meet me at my house. The judge wants you. All right, Baldy. Drop the bat. The judge wants you.
How do you do, Reverend Gaspell, Reverend Woodworth? Oh, you two are a little early. We'll be ready as soon as the others arrive. Frankly, you see, we're having a slight difficulty over a judicial process.
Imy, the judge wants you. The judge wants you, Fatty.
What's holding us, Judge Lindsay? Everybody seems to be here. Everybody but your witnesses.
I'm sorry, Governor, but there is a slight delay. I'm sure it'll work itself out in a few minutes. You see, I've a friend of a court working on the matter.
Maxie, Stanley, Steve, the judge wants you. Harry, Willie, loudmouth.
I'm sorry, Judge Lindsay. I'm afraid I can't visit any longer.
But, Governor...
No use, Lindsay. And I fear I'll have to ask you to explain in writing this imposition on the time and credulity of those very busy gentlemen you've brought here to no purpose. Frankly, I can't understand what you had in mind. I always considered that...
Judge, I'm sorry. You'll have to excuse me, but I can't hold them. There's a bunch of hoodlums out here.
Mickey!
I got them, Judge. 15 of them, like you said. All of them jailbirds.
So, I was put in a cell with some old bozo who held up a bank, you see. He made me promise to get in touch with a pal of his. I didn't want to do it, but...
See, Judge, I told you I'd do something for you sometime.
And indeed he did do something for me. The sincere and artless testimony of the boys he brought to me shocked the committee into instant action. The entire existing system of juvenile imprisonment was abolished. A school and detention home was immediately instituted in its stead. A separate juvenile court was established, soon to be copied by cities all across the country. A minor miracle had been wrought by faith, persistence, and, not last, by a 13-year-old boy.
Reginald Denny will return in just a moment. But first, here's a message to all the young men in America. You can serve your country and yourself by volunteering in the United States Army now. And if you do volunteer, you'll have a choice of several branches. For example, if you choose the Corps of Engineers, you'll learn modern construction methods. You'll have the opportunity to learn surveying, drafting, map making. So find out about the engineers and other branches of the Army at your nearest recruiting station today. You are needed now.
And now we'd like to thank you, Reginald Denny, for your splendid performance.
Pleasure was all mine, George.
This transcribed program was presented by your Army and your Air Force in cooperation with this radio station and your local recruiting headquarters. Mickey and the Judge was written by Alan Sergall and directed by Charles Wilkes. The orchestra was under the direction of John Guarneri. This is George Garman speaking.
And this is Reginald Denny inviting you to tune in on this same station next week for another of your Stars on Parade.